This morning, our devotional comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring at naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Are there any announcements before we go to Sunday school? If not, let's go to Sunday school.
The title of our lesson today is God's Purpose of Grace, and I'll try to bring out a few things here, Lord willing. Our lesson text comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. I'll read that at this time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, as I said when we started here, the title is the God's Purpose of Grace. And I want to get to that purpose in just a second. But we're reading here about redemption and the price that Christ paid on the cross. So before I go any further, I want to go back to Romans chapter 3 for just a second. Chapter 3 and starting with verse 9 here, it says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." To me, that summarizes the state of man without God, the state of the natural man, the unsaved man. And the point that I'm going to try to bring out here is the purpose of God's grace is to fix that condition that I just read there, that description that we have. And it's a pretty grim, brutal description. If you go back and you study it a little bit and you actually think upon these words that I just read here in the third chapter of Romans. But it is an accurate description of the state of mankind after falling away from the Lord. So these words that I've read in Ephesians here, it talks about blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. The things that the Lord has done for us, the blessings and the gifts that he showered down upon us. First of all, the greatest gift of all, of course, is to reinstate us into fellowship with God, the salvation of our souls that he's blessed us with. But there is so much more than that. But it goes on here to talk about predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. I want to go for just a second to the first chapter of John. In the first verse it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now, that Word is Jesus Christ, and Jesus was with God before the foundation of the world. And that is the where we come into this predestined. The plan of salvation was predestined. It was settled and decided upon before God ever created man, because in his foreknowledge God understood that men would fail, that he understood that we would be imperfect beings. So we need to understand that when it talks about this predestination, that it was the plan of salvation, predestined. Now, I'm not going to go much further into this, and I'm not going to carry on about God's foreknowledge too much here, but I do want to make a statement that there is a difference in foreknowledge and predestination. The predestination, the plan of salvation, was predestined as it was pre-planned, and it was set in motion from the very start. And God, who is perfect and holy, knows all things, and he can see forth into the future. But that doesn't mean that what will be. Some there is a saying that that is that we can't change anything. That if this person's meant to be saved, they're going to be saved no matter what. And if this person's meant to be lost, they're going to be lost no matter what. And there's no changing that. That's not true. But I do believe that God has perfect knowledge and perfect understanding. And but that is separate from predestination. That and I'm going to pretty much stop there because I've exhausted my knowledge. I want you to try to be aware of that difference there, the difference between knowledge, pre-knowledge of God, and predestination, that is the plan of God. But it says here that, I'm skipping over to the 11th verse of our Sunday school book, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, in whom, that is Jesus Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose, that inheritance being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Christ has made these things possible, this inheritance possible, this inheritance that we receive, first of all, the fellowship that we have of God, and the suffering that the Lord went through here upon the earth. And we can go back and we can read in Isaiah that how that Isaiah described the suffering that he was going to go through, and his visage so marred from the beatings that he undertook that he didn't even appear to be a man any longer. And that's hard for me to imagine, somebody beat so severely and so cruelly that they don't even, that their face takes on the appearance of some type of monster or some kind of animal or something. But if you study it deeper and you read in the New Testament about the groanings of Christ and the words that he spake and how that he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, you get the sense and the understanding that the burden that he carried spiritually was even greater than the physical aspects. As hard as that is to imagine, being beat so severely and the pain and the suffering that he endured. And we've had preachers stand up here and preach about what, and I believe that God gave them the words when they preached. They described the agony and the suffering of the cross and the torment that goes along with that manner of death, how the breath comes and causes pain. And we've had that described, and I'm sure y'all all were here because it's that's been a sermon a few times when I've been here. But even more, I believe, greater than that was the burden that the Lord had for people who were separated from God, because Jesus understood what that meant. He understood the pain and the depth of agony that was awaiting people separated from God, people that died without the Lord and were cast off into a devil's hell. Jesus knew that. He knew what was coming, and he didn't want that. Jesus wanted more than anything for that not to happen to people. He wanted more than anything to make a way for men and women to be able to get back into fellowship with God. And that is an inheritance. It's speaking here of an inheritance that we who have been saved have received. We have fellowship with God. And, you know, there are a lot of blessings that I get on this in this life. The Lord is with me. I feel his presence when I desire to feel his presence, when I try to turn to him and pray to him, and I ask him to be with me. And I can know that. I can feel his movement in my heart. And when I have things that are bothering me, I can pray to him. And he can give me peace, and he can settle those things for me. And I might not know what's going to happen. I may not know how things are going to turn out. But I can know that the Lord heard that prayer. And I can know that he's going to take care of that situation, that somehow or the other is going to turn out all right for me. And no matter what happens, I know things are going to turn out all right for me, because all I have to do is survive to the end and lay this life down. And it's all, we sung about the songs a little bit ago about the praises we're going to sing, and how a million years from now we're just going to be starting, and how great it is. That's what I have waiting for me, and that's what I know. That's sealed, and that's all because of what the Lord did. because he wanted that to me. He wanted to give that to me, and that's why he agreed to suffer that humiliation on the cross, that beating, that deep emotional burden that he carried. It was for the purpose that I might be able to be back in fellowship with God, feel the Spirit of the Lord, be able to turn to him. And it's just one blessing after the other that the Lord has given to me in this life. Alone, it's more than I can describe. But, well, I had it written down here somewhere and I don't see it. Well, let's go just for a second to Romans. Skip over a few pages here to chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified for him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The sufferings of this present time. Now, you know, we go through some rough patches here sometimes, and it's really painful to see our loved ones get sick, and y'all know that more than me, I know. But the Bible says here that the sufferings that we go through aren't worthy to be compared with the things that we have awaiting. Now, I've talked about how I can feel the presence of the Lord, I can turn to him, and he helps me through these times, and how great that is. How much more we have waiting for us here when it says that these sufferings on this life, they can't even compare to the riches and the greatness that we have awaiting for us in heaven. And I guess the point that I'm trying to make is the Lord suffered so much and we benefited so much. I can't even begin to stand up here and describe it, and I'm trying to. I'm trying to show, you know, just the things that the Lord does for me, how blessed I am. And I know that y'all are also, because I believe that everyone here is a child of God. I believe y'all have all been saved, and you know how the Lord is there for you and how he helps you out and the blessings you receive upon this life. But that's just the start. That's just the inheritance. That's just a little taste of what we have waiting for us in heaven. Skipping back here, let's go back to the sixth verse here. And it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. To the praise of the glory of his grace. We as God's people need to be praising God. We need to be being a light for the Lord. We need to be standing up before people that they might, not just necessarily testifying, but living our lives in such a manner and in a way that people would look at us and say, there's something different about him. He's gone through all these problems, all these tragedies, all this sickness, the loss of loved ones, and there's something that's bearing him up, that's helping him along. What is that? That's the way our lives ought to be, that people might look at us and know something's different, that our light might shine forth, because that's how the Lord is able to reach other people. That's how he is able to reach out and touch other people. That's what we need to be, more Christ-like in the manner that Christ was worried about us. Christ was concerned. Christ wanted us to be saved to such an extent that he underwent things and troubles that he did go through. We need to be like that. We need to be willing to bear some burden, to carry the cross that other people might see and that they might come under conviction and be saved, because we are the only hope that the world has. God's people is the only hope that the lost have to be saved. They're not going to turn to God upon their own, because they're in that state that I read just a few minutes ago back in Romans, that open sepulcher, that not desiring to know God. But when we as God's people lift up Christ, the Bible says, Jesus said that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And I didn't look that up, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm sure you understand the thought and the meaning there, that if we will uphold Christ and show him forth to the world, people will desire to have that. They're going to want to know. They're going to seek after. People are looking for something today. And you know that's true because you can see just by looking at the television, all the different religious shows that come on. And look across the, when you drive into church here, all the different buildings that are erected that people gather together today to try to worship God. They're seeking something. They want something. They know that there's something out there. And we need to be out there. And that's the purpose here of us as God's people, is to be out there, to be a light, to uphold the name of Jesus Christ, that those people might find what they're looking for. You know, somebody did that for me. Somebody reached me. Now, y'all know that my parents brought me here from a little kid on up, and so y'all are the someones, most, a lot of y'all are. Some of the people that I remember as a child have gone on. Quite a few of them have. But it was through the influence of this church that I was saved. I'd like to see other people saved. I want the influence of this church to carry on, that the lost might be saved. We seem to be struggling, and it seems to be an uphill battle. Satan would like nothing better than for us to become discouraged. And I do get discouraged sometimes, and that's not right. But we still have God on our side. The Bible tells us that if he be with us, if he be for us, all things. All right, I'm getting two different verses confused here. If God be for us, who can be against us? And all things work together for the good of those that love God. Both of those ought to encourage us. They ought to help us to carry on, to stand up and just be Christians. Paul said, when all else is done, to just stand. Just stand and be a witness, be a Christian. Live your life in a manner that would please God. If we will do that, then we will help accomplish God's purpose. We will help spread the gospel somehow or another. We might not ever know it. You may not know the person you touch. You may know them. I don't know. But it's possible that somebody will see and they'll start seeking after God. They'll start seeking after the right way. And maybe God's got someone else prepared to carry on the work that starts with a person view in our lives. But let's try to do all that we can to serve God. Let's try to uphold the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a shame it is that after all that he did and the suffering that he went through, if we fail to do one little thing that would point someone towards that, so that it might reveal that to some person that's lost. I want to go just a minute here to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And this will be everything for me. But it says, and this is going back to the blessings and the inheritance that we as God's children have. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, That says it all, and that's one of the favorite verses that I have, because it tells me the blessings that are awaiting me. I can't imagine them. I wouldn't be able to understand them if I saw them. I can't understand them with my mind, my ear. They can't be told to me. They are so great. And that's a lot to be thankful for right there. It's a lot to meditate upon and to spur us on to try to serve God the best that we can. That's everything that I have for today. Do y'all have any questions or any comments? I appreciate everyone being here. So, I hope y'all got something out of it. Nobody has anything. We can be dismissed. Let's keep Brother Jason in our prayers. The Lord might be with him, guide him today. To be his will that he stand. I'll ask Brother Jimmy if he would to dismiss us.